Malachi chapter 4 today on Through the Word, the last chapter of the Old Testament, with a promise of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Have you ever waited and worked for a long time for one day to arrive? I mean years of anticipation, frustration, and perseverance, looking forward but fighting the fear that it would never come. Then finally, the day showed up, and it just hits you. Everything is different. For me, it was about 3 minutes after my last final in college, and I thought to myself, I never want to do homework again, ever. Malachi 4 is about a day that changes everything, and that day is coming. What day? Let's check it out at verse 1. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Chapter 4 is only 6 verses long, and for such a short chapter, there is one word that you can't help but notice repeated. Twice in verse 1, the day is coming, and in verse 3, on the day when I act, and finally verse 5, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This chapter is clearly about a day. It's a day that is coming. It's a day when God will act, and it's a day that is great and dreadful. So what day is it? For starters, this day is part of the answer to a question asked back in chapter 2. Where is the God of justice, they asked. The scoffers challenged the Lord. If God is good and the world is so evil, why doesn't God do something about it? If he cares, when will he take action? He does care, and he will act. It's the waiting that's the hard part. The first part of the answer was in chapter 3. Where is the God of justice? God said that he is coming suddenly. And he did. He fulfilled the prediction in chapter 3 when Jesus arrived. But he didn't answer the question completely. Jesus showed up with mercy to forgive us. He died to justify us, and he gave us the Spirit and the Word to purify us. But what about the world around us? Evil is still evil. Many reject Jesus, and justice has not been served for all the wicked. For those who believe, he set us right with God. But when will it all be set right? You can still ask the question, where is the God of justice, and when will he act? For the rest of the answer, we come to chapter 4. So look again at verse 1. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire. So the day is coming, a day when the evildoers will get precisely what they deserve. Now, if you're like me, this is tough stuff to read. We love the God of mercy, but judgment is hard to deal with. But we can't have it both ways. We can't say in one breath, where is the God of justice, and why does he allow evildoers to carry on? Then when we read judgment, say, that's not fair. It is fair. It's precisely fair. It is justice, and God puts it off as long as he possibly can. Back in chapter 3, we saw Jesus came to purify first. If there is any chance to rescue us before judgment, God wants to take it. If we allow him to make us pure, no judgment is necessary. Chapter 4 is another day, though we saw some of it at the end of chapter 3. So what day is it talking about? I believe this is the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first arrival already happened when Jesus was born. God showed up in the flesh. The second coming is the big one that we are waiting for now, the culmination of all history. Revelation 19 tells us that Jesus will arrive riding upon a white horse, with King of Kings and Lord of Lords emblazoned upon his robe and his thigh. Not to be confused with the rapture, the second coming happens at the end of the tribulation period. it is a day of war and of judgment. Verse 1 says, that day will leave evildoers neither root nor branch. Apparently, there will be nothing left for the evil to take root and grow again. Now, that day will strike you in one of two ways, depending on how you're living your life. Remember from chapter 3 that the scoffers had said that God didn't care anymore whether you do good or evil. But this is the day that you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. The wicked didn't fare well in verse 1, but now look at verse 2. But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Talk about a different day. Verse 5 calls it the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Only if you have a different translation, it might say the great and awesome day. It's all the same Hebrew word, but the word has different meanings, awesome or dreadful. And in a way, both are fitting. If you fear him today with respect, then that day will be awesome, like a sunrise. Mock him today, and that day will be dreadful, burning like an oven. And you will see why the fear of the Lord is in fact fear. If you live like God is never coming back, you won't be happy when he does. If you live like God always sees you, you will be ecstatic on the day you see him. In verse 4, God gives some instructions. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. Here at the close of the Old Testament, God reminds his people to hold on to the law. It was the basis of their covenant. Then in verse 5, God offers a sign to watch for ahead of the big day. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. So the big sign is the return of the prophet Elijah. Elijah is respected as one of the great prophets in the history of Israel. You may recall that Elijah never died. He was taken up by chariots of fire while his successor looked on. As for his return, Jews take this promise seriously. Every year at Passover, Jewish families leave a seat open for Elijah, just in case he shows up. Now, some folks thought that John the Baptist was Elijah. Close. John's ministry was preparing the way for Jesus' first coming. He was predicted in chapter 3. But John the Baptist stated clearly that he was not Elijah. Jesus was asked about Elijah coming, and he explained that John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Essentially, John served the same role, but Jesus also explained that Elijah was still yet to come. So John was sort of a partial fulfillment, not complete. When will Elijah show up? Just before Jesus' second coming. Revelation 11 tells us of two witnesses who will announce the gospel to the world during the tribulation. Based on this and other verses, many of us believe that Elijah himself will be one of those two witnesses. Who is the other witness? Some say Moses, some say Enoch, some say Zerubbabel. We don't know for sure. Verse 6, he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Jesus also tells us that Elijah will come to restore all things. Here we see that an essential part of that ministry will be the restoration of families. I love this promise. Imagine being called and gifted for a ministry to set relationships right between dads and kids. That sets a foundation to set relationships right between people and God. Finally, the Old Testament ends with a curse. Again, it fits. The covenant of the law leads to a curse. If you try to be righteous by rules alone, you're headed for a curse. But the New Testament ends with grace. That is God's ultimate will for you. Beautiful grace. Read Malachi 4 today. Finish out the Old Testament and prepare your heart for that day. But why does he make us wait for it? Why doesn't he act now, in the world, in my life? I can't answer that for every situation. I don't know. Peter tells us that God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. This I do know. God declares here in Malachi 4, the day is coming, the day when God acts. See, we know that God is always about his work and that he is active in our world and in our lives. But he is not always at all times setting everything right. In the moment, God is not punishing every wicked deed and rewarding every righteous one. In that sense, he is allowing many things to simply carry on. But he promises a day, the day when he acts. If you love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, then you can know that God works all things for your good. That doesn't mean that it's all good right now, but he is working. And surely the day is coming when the Lord takes action.
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. You can find this chapter and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.